Welcome back to the Western Bowhunter Podcast with your host, South Cox of Stalker Stick Bows.
Okay, well, you guys, South, you done eating?
I'm going to have like five bites staring at me the whole podcast.
Hurry up and finish them.
Didn't your mother teach you to bring enough for everybody?
Nope, I'm sorry.
There were a couple times in Nevada where he added boiling water to a freeze-dried meal, and it would look good and smell good, and I would ask him, like, what is that? And he'd be like, I have no idea. I have no idea what I'm eating.
I label some of my freeze-dried meals that I made, and so I couldn't remember what they were.
You just ate it anyway, though.
Yep. Mac it down.
This is mystery meat.
Welcome back to the Western Bowhunter Podcast. This is South Cox, and tonight we have something a little different. We've got a co-host on the line as well as a couple of guests, and I'm here tonight with
Tim Neville from the Push Archery Podcast. What's going on, brother? Long time no see.
Yeah, it's only been less than a week since we were up there on the mountain in Nevada.
You missed me?
Real bad. I bet you the next time I call you to go on a backcountry hunt, you might think twice before saying yes.
I won't. I'll be all healed up by then, I'm sure. So, not sure
all
what
right.
the answer.
We're not sure. We're not sure.
Doesn't look at your wound
or the mountain.
Right.
Yeah. So tonight we have
more.
Right. Tonight we have Gary Hall from D&M Custom Arrows, and what would be a good superlative here?
Infamous.
For Mike Minton. Infamous, huh? Larger than life, Mike Minton.
There
from
we go.
Herd Bull Productions, and also people will remember him from Brothers of the Bow, from Primal Dreams. At least that was probably my introduction to him.
Oh, mine was for sure Primal Dreams. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So we are here tonight to talk about a collaborative project that I can't take any credit for being the brains behind or the idea behind it. This was kind of something that Gary Hall and Tim Neville cooked up while we were in Kalamazoo, Michigan, there at the show back in January this year when we first started kind of kicking things around. And why don't you, since it was kind of your and Gary's brainchild, one of you to kind of chime in and talk about how this all came about and what it is.
I don't remember the exact moment that we were like, oh, this would be a good idea to do. I think we were at the greenhouse shoot, that little private shoot that we did, and Tim and I were just kind of chit-chatting about it because we had just got done talking to Mike at the show, and Barry was there. We were saying, you know, how great it is to see this caliber of people still around doing what they're doing. And I think it really kind of started because there was one of those commemorative Fred Bear bows floating around. And I said, you know, we really should do something for these guys before, you know, they're not here to see how much that we appreciate them. So, you know, that's when Tim and I started talking. We're like, we should really do like a tribute bow for Mike because he's inspired so many people. And I think just with One with the Wilderness and Primal Dreams alone was a mm-hmm. huge inspiration for so many people. And that's Tim lit right up and was like, yeah, we need to make this happen. And I kind of dropped it. And then we got to the greenhouse shoot, and he Tim was foaming at the mouth with 200 ideas already. He's like, we should do this and do this. And then South walks in and he's like, we should have South make the bow. And it just kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, it was pretty.
Go ahead.
It was pretty funny when you guys first pitched it. I was like, huh? You know, as far as like, what am I getting roped into here? And then it kind of grew and I started talking about doing, you know, Gary started talking about doing arrows to go along with it. And then we're missing a player in this on the call, and that's Drew Kohlhofer from Selway. And I kind of volunteered him to collaborate with the project there as well. Cause I mean, geez, what's a bow without a quiver, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think
it's pretty neat what we can do with a laser these days too. So it's kind of another surface there that we could kind of further pimp out the project.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think the idea of this just kind of, it, you know, just kind of fit with all of us here on the call. I think when we first came up with this idea, I think South, you had just started reading the chapters of Mike's book on your podcast. I think you were only a couple chapters deep at that point. And you know, Gary and I are, you know, infatuation with Mike's readings, you know, his books and his movies. It's something we talk about, like, Gary, it's probably
all
like
the time.
Every other phone conversation we have, like, something along that line comes
Mike
up.
Comes up.
Just,
yep.
We kind of joke like Mike Mitten is our spirit animal sometimes. And, you know, just the three of us on this call and Drew, who couldn't be on the call as well, you know, just really appreciate the inspiration that Mike and his, you know, productions and his films and books have given us, you know, the three of us on the call and Drew and, you know, just the archery community in general. And like South said, it's, or like Gary and South both said, it's something we wanted to do before, you know, while Mike was still here to see it, you know, not that Mike's going anywhere anytime soon, but wanted him to know that, you know, it, everything he's done, it really means something to us and everyone else. So,
there's a lot of people out there that feel that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said this before. Oh, go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
No. I'm just saying it's quite humbling that I'm still here listening to you, whereas South has done some commemorative work with his bows for Bart Schleyer a few years back, but Bart had already passed. So your idea to do this now, when someone like me is still here, is quite humbling.
Yeah, I mean, and Mike, your writing, your story about Bart was my introduction to Bart. I never did get to meet him, so I met him vicariously through your writing, and that was probably the first written piece of yours that I had read, at least that I was aware of. Anyway, I may very well have read something earlier on in Traditional Bowhunter, but just wasn't paying attention to the byline. It kind of, in a way, almost feels kind of full circle for me, in that you made that introduction, that story made a big impression on me. And then the work that you've done, both from a video standpoint and then also your writing in One with the Wilderness there, is what was really impactful for me, and I really enjoyed reading that book and was really grateful that you are allowing me to read it on the podcast, because I feel like it's got a lot to offer, you know, people like Gary, Tim, myself and other young and seasoned bow hunters and even people that don't hunt can take stuff away from that book, just, you know, life lessons and, you know, appreciation of the wilderness and wild things.
And I'm glad that you did to read that. I mean, that book came out in 2009, right after I'd lost my wife to multiple myeloma cancer. So, I mean, that dealing with that book and the writing of it, you know, kind of happened during the time she was getting treatment and everything. So when I listened to you reading those chapters, you know, and hearing the words, I guess hearing my thoughts for the first time, because yeah, I'm always reading it, I don't hear it, but to actually sure. hear my thoughts as I put them down on paper, it brings me to those scenes and where I was when I was writing about the, you know, the experiences in the chapter. But at the same time, it takes me to where I was actually writing those words. A lot of times it was in, you know, downtown Chicago at the hospital. So I'm kind of enjoying the presentation of the book myself.
Oh, great. I'm glad to hear that. It's been really, really fun. I've been, the last couple months, I haven't been at it, but I'm recording another episode for it tomorrow. So by the time that people hear this, there'll be another one, you know, knocking, or maybe even heard the other episode first. So be back on the horse here shortly.
Right.
I'm always disappointed when you end the chapter, too, because I want you to keep going. After reading a book a couple times, it's like, no, there's good stuff coming. Keep going. Are you gonna wait?
Yeah. Yeah, which is kind of funny because I've done that. So I'm also doing Patrick McManus episodes, and I've done that a couple of times where I've gotten a dud, you know, a dud chapter because I'm not pre-reading them, and then I'll go ahead just roll into it and read another one. But Mike doesn't lay any duds, so
no,
it'll be one chapter at a time.
Do you find you're getting any more or any different, you know, things out of the book actually reading it out loud than you would reading in your head?
Are you talking about me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I'm so focused on trying not to screw up that's trying to do a decent job on the presentation and pronounce words right and not, you know, get dyslexic and read words in the wrong order, that I don't know that I'm taking as much out of it as I would if I was, you know, reading it without that kind of pressure. So, you know, I'm probably taking less out of it. So to be fair, I should probably read it again myself, but, you know, just without that kind of, you know, without that pressure there.
But. Yeah. Ben Massey, who you guys all know, he drove 5 hours and 45 minutes to my house yesterday afternoon to
good grief.
One way. Yeah, he came over one way just to pick up some random things of mine that I had used that he could use on the trip with you south there this weekend, because he's going to Colorado to film south next week. It'll be his first time out there. So just, you know, little things like, you know, backpack, water, bladder, or Steripen, or, you know, just some extra, you know, drink mixes that I had. Just that there was a whole assortment of things that I gave him. And the very last thing that I gave, he didn't leave. I think he left my house at like 9 o'clock at night and ended up getting home like just before 3 a.m. But the very last thing that I gave him in the dark in my driveway was Mike's book. I was like,
that's awesome.
I said, you gotta read this, read it on the plane, you know, read it in the airports. And when you're sitting, I said, you're going to have a lot of time, like in your tent. You guys will probably get back to your tent early in the afternoons because, you know, he mainly hunts during the middle of the day. But, you know, you got llamas, you can take some extra weight, take this book up there and read it. So he's excited about that.
Good deal.
So let's talk about
Mike,
this project.
Mike, do you
project.
Think we're going to have another book in our future?
I'm not sure. I don't want to commit to it, but I have quite a few, I guess. The book reads like articles. Each chapter stands alone, so I have some writing that I've been working on. So I might have maybe 15 chapters.
No kidding.
Already, right. So.
And then Primal
Dream right
there. Is on its way, right?
Yeah. I just need to do a few more things.
There's a lot of anxious consumers.
Okay. I'm hearing it.
So let's talk about this project. Why don't you guys, South tell everybody about what this project actually entails, what it's comprised of, and just give us a skinny.
Well, I think maybe we should start by having Mike talk about the first couple of bows that he built, the first couple of herd bulls, because that's kind of what we're emulating here with this project.
That's a good point.
Okay. So you're always connected to the bow in some way or another, either like the romance of it or what have you. And a lot of us, you know, a lot of people collect bows and so forth. So, but you always want to dabble in, seems like you want to dabble in making your own. So talking with Bart Slyer and Paul Schaefer and those guys, they made their bows. Paul was a professional bowyer. Bart, you know, made bows, self bows that he gave away to a lot of people and stuff. So, during the time, right after my, just before my wife got sick, I made a couple bows. And on the cover of my book is a bow that I used out in Colorado. And some of these, like the stick bow and tragang and stuff, they have kind of a handle. So I just started going by herd bow. So I kind of named the bow after my handle, the herd bow. And of course, Herd Bull Productions later on was my publishing business. But the first one was, I made a couple, one from the wood from my property in Illinois. It was a walnut and black locust and elm. And then the second bow I made was Paul Farrell. It's like Bolivian rosewood with cocoa bolo veneers. And that one I shot some deer with and had it out west hunting mule deer and coyotes and stuff. And then it got a crack in it that everyone told me I couldn't fix it, that it wasn't repairable. So I have it as a wall hanger. So anyway, maybe the third bow I made, I called it Herd Bow 2. So this is where you guys come in. I made that bow out of Babinga, and I didn't want it to separate, or I went stronger down the riser because they were fairly heavy weight, 60, 65 pounds. So the center line was solid was fiberglass meshed with Babinga, and then waterfall Babinga veneers over bamboo limbs. But the overall design was a one-piece modeled after a West Wallace takedown is what it really was. And I had my form, and, you know, I had clamps and all that, and poles. They had multiple clamps on a top head. Anyway, I finished that bow in 2009. It was right after my wife died, so I had a lot of things going on to stay busy. So I was, you know, promoting the book, which was brand new. I worked on that bow all summer and or off and on throughout the summer. And then I hunted black bear with it and shot a black bear in Manitoba and a nice white tail, like the second day of the season in Illinois. And so I was happy to use, you know, a bow that I made that you're connected to, that, you know, you're thinking about, you know, all your life issues while you're laboring over that bow. I mean, South probably doesn't think like that anymore because he's made so many, but for, you know, just somebody that's just dabbling in it that doesn't really know what they're doing, you spend a lot of time with that that piece of wood,
yep.
fiberglass. And so a lot of those thoughts come through, and so some of that came through with some of the writings that I've done after that about the bear and the deer and so forth, and actually building the bow. Some articles came out, and then you guys, you know, come around and, you know, see the bows that I'm using, and then I don't know, after that I've used other folks' bows, like Brian Wessel from Tall Tines, and Sal. I used one of his Wolverine bows that he made for for Bart Schleyer commemorative and shot some moose with that. So you guys are coming in and trying to, I guess, model the woods and, you know, the look of that herd bull two bow, that herd bull bow that I made that's so special to me.
Yep, exactly. Yep, we toiled over wood. In fact, I made a sample bow. Well, we made two sample bows. And one, interestingly enough, was Palo Faro, and the other one was the Binga. And we were trying to kind of figure out which one was going to look the closest to the bow that you had built. And we did go with that Binga with the waterfall, you know, on the right, on the limb veneers, and then a curly, you know, figured Binga for the riser there. And then we went a step further so people who are familiar with Mike's book, who have had the pleasure of actually cracking the cover and not just listening to me read it from an audio book, have probably seen, or even from Primal Dreams, have seen you that image where you're packing out those two mature whitetail bucks, you know, both slung over your shoulders. And I mean, it's like almost like a mythical image. And so we took that and then we scanned that for Jake. I can't take the credit when I say we. It was all Jake Veldhaus's efforts there. Scanned it into an image that we could burn with the laser, and we put that onto the riser, burn that into the riser. So I think that, you know, has really kind of added something, you know, special as well. That is definitely uniquely Mike Mitten. No one else will ever probably be able to accomplish that feat.
Yeah. Hope that brings strong medicine. Strong medicine when you look at that.
Right.
Yeah.
Or a lot of feelings of insecurity for our manhood.
Yeah. Right. I was actually...
I couldn't tell you how many people saw that, especially like in my archery shop, where I would have Primal Dreams pretty much on loop. I mean, that would stop people dead in their tracks and go, how did he do that? How did he get those deer are huge? And I go, well, when you meet Mike, you'll understand. The man's a monster. He's a big guy. He can, you know. Yeah. But it would stop people dead in their tracks. And I'd have three or four guys at hunting season tuning up bows, making arrows, and they're watching that going, how do you think he did that?
Yeah. I think it's...
Yeah, you guys surprised me with that the bow that you sent me actually came, because I was thinking, you know, my logo is herd bull, so you think of elk, and I hunt a lot of moose, so you think of moose and stuff like that. And then when that image showed up, boy, it really grabbed me.
And that was a no-brainer for Tim and I. I think we both were on the phone that day going, well, what would you put on the bow that would be Mike? And it was like, we go to his book. Let's go through his book and find his stuff. And that was the first thing I saw. I says, I got it. I know what we're doing. And Tim was like, oh my God, yes. There's no question. So we ended up sending a picture of that over to my buddy Dave Burgess, and he sketched out something that could get put into, you know, something a little bit more fine so Jake could have at it with his laser machine. And I thought that was awesome. That was a great little
sweet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I didn't give Dave credit and gave Jake perhaps more credit than he was due on that one. But it turned out awesome. And
So we couldn't do it without either one of those guys.
It turned out. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So then from the bow, interestingly, so a little bit more backstory. So you said that, you know, you had that bow came from was inspired by Wes Wallace,
who worked with Brackenberry.
Yeah.
He worked, with Brackenberry and started your, the company that you bought out was also inspired by Brackenberry.
Exactly. Yep. So there's a lot of similar lines there in the bow from that herd bull over to from your herd bull to the herd bull that I'm producing, and to have that all come down from Brackenberry, kind of trickle down, and so to have like his bloodlines in that bow is another neat part of the backstory there.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. I wanted to bring that up, and thanks for reminding us.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've had your company. Yeah. How long have you had your company now, Sal?
14 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been a bit, boy. It's time goes by fast, doesn't it, fellas?
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah, it's really cool. I think I even mentioned this to you in Nevada, South, that like I always keep an eye, just out of curiosity, I'll keep an eye on like stickbow.com or the Archery Talk Classifieds, and like you'll occasionally see, it's usually on Stickbow, you'll see an old Brackenberry pop up or a Wes Wallace Mentor pop up, and like you can see those you can see those bloodlines that, you know, have trickled down to the Wolverine in particular. And I just think that's super cool. And it's really neat that you made that connection with Mike and Brackenberry and everything. That's just there's just a whole lot of mojo in this bow. Yeah.
It's the long the long riser. It's your long riser, and I like a long bow anyway. But I'm not sure what you're going to offer, but the one that I got is the longer riser.
Mm-hmm. For people who are interested in, it's basically the Wolverine model. And so that's available in a 56 to 64 inch, and I'll offer all lengths. And then it's you could do recurve or longbow limbs. I don't see a reason to keep it exclusive to the recurve limbs. So if somebody wanted a longbow, it's going to be the same riser. And down the road, a person could either get longbow or recurve limbs if they wanted to change to the other limb style. It's bamboo core, so along the way here, at some point, we decided that rather than just doing a bow, we should do arrows to go along with it. So I want you to talk about the arrows that you're doing to complement the bow there, Gary.
Well, Mike, I made some arrows for Mike over the years, but Mike in particular has his own kind of feather cut, and he likes his four fletch, and we put together a really I love making this combination. It's just a nice orange top, yellow splice with orange barred bottom. It's just a real pretty arrow. We kind of matched up all the cresting, and we've kind of like duplicated Mike's arrow. I know you used it on a moose hunt. I think it's in your Chasing Solitude DVD, that particular combination, we put one of his quotes on the arrow that's actually sealed into the arrow, and it's on the larger side, so we had to stay with like an aluminum arrow. That's definitely kind of Mike's trademark there, to use a 2219. So that's kind of what you're seeing in the pictures that we're going to show you guys. And we're going to offer that in with the bow package. They'll get a dozen aluminum arrows sized for whatever spine they're going to need for the particular bow. So if some guy's shooting 65 or some guy's shooting 45, we'll accommodate the arrow to that particular bow. And you can upgrade to other arrows, and we can kind of, I don't know if we want to talk about that now, but it would be the base price that we have right now is set for aluminum arrows. If someone would like an upgrade when they purchase the bow, we can talk about what's available to them for an upgrade and the extra cost. There is a diameter issue we have to worry about with the lettering, so that's why we chose aluminums. It really stands out when we use
type of shaft. We chose aluminums because aluminums are A, the most trad, B, straighter, C, heavier, D, quieter. I've been shooting aluminums probably like 70% of this time in the summertime so far, and I'm
Well, what was the quote again? You say I wrote a quote, but what was it again?
Oh, we're using Self-Reliance Can't Be Bought.
Self-Reliance Can't Be Bought. Yeah, that's from a poem that I wrote for the end of Primal Dreams. That video Primal Dreams is a poem there. It says it can't be bought, and that's one of the features. Self-Reliance Can't Be Bought. I noticed that you had that on one of your arrows posted on either Facebook or Trad Gang or something, and that caught my eye too. So I go, these guys are really into it.
Those aren't my arrows, Mike. Those are yours, buddy. They're on their way.
Okay.
You needed more ammo. I know you did. I saw how beat up those arrows were that you had there. So we needed to get you a fresh
you saw
fluffy
about
batch.
Three different models here.
That's awesome.
There's like a swift cut where it's like a shield, although it swings back a little bit, called a swift. But I like a high profile, so they had Gary have the highest width, or the width of the fletching is in the center of the total length, and these are 5-inch feather fletching, and so then it tapers back. So it's kind of a high profile swift that I like to use for visibility and stability hunting in the wet and the tag auler swamps and stuff. So it's just something that I've shot since, well, basically I've shot that same arrow since I started hunting in the 1970s. Wow. So I haven't really changed much, although they're a lot prettier now, the ones that Gary makes. But that arrow originally, when he first made it for me, the combination that I suggested, or I think was where it was, because we had the autumn orange shafting at the time.
Yeah.
And I went to Africa with it, and I have an article that I wrote about the eland, and you see that the shaft protruding from the side of the great eland. So, and the red
great
sands of Africa. Red sands of Africa went well with the reddish colored bow that I had from Paul Tynes, and so now it fits really well with this project, I think.
Yeah, we kind of picked this combination because that was the one that kind of stuck out the most to me, was that particular one that you put together, you know.
Yeah, but I did. You're right. I did.
And it's pretty.
In 2017 with that same fletching combination with the arrow that you sent me.
Yep. Yeah, I still have your kudu one sitting on my wall. I saved that one. Every time I need to make arrows for Mike, I have to pull it off and make sure that the ribbon that I use for burning hasn't, moved or got bent in a weird spot. So I got to tweak it a little bit.
But great visibility going down range with those things.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, they sure are. Yep. Big fan of aluminum arrows. I'm shooting some myself, too.
So speaking of aluminum arrows, that kind of ties into the quiver then, and we'll have to kind of all chime in here. We're doing a Selway quiver. Since Drew's not here, we'll do his part for him. Selway quiver to go along with it. And if I'm not mistaken, that's got a moose antler that's burned into it. It says herd bull. Is that right?
Yeah, it says herd bull under it. And it's a shed of a moose, which, kind of neat to me, because in some of my writings and stories or even images that I put out over the years, a shed antler of a moose or an elk is just, that's inspirational to the future hunt, because hopefully that animal's still alive. Whereas if you're holding a rack of a deer, or you look at the rack of a deer, the skull plate, and, of course, the animal's already dead. So shed antlers are living to me. They're hold them up in your hand, and that's almost like a living creature. That's the future. That's the anticipation of the hunt. So it's cool to have a shed antler of a moose burned into the hood of that quiver with herd bull name on there. So, and the leather that he used matches the bull very well.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So one of the things we also wanted to do was donate proceeds of this package to some place of Mike's choice. And why don't you tell us about who you chose and why you made that decision, Mike?
Okay, I chose the Professional Bowhunter Society, which I've been a member of for, I don't know, 30 something, 40 years. And they've always meant a lot to me, and it's kind of a fraternal organization, bow hunters that all have the same sort of interests and goals. And they've been, you know, good to me, a great group of people. And so that was the first thing that came to mind, that they've helped me over the years. And if I could in any way pay back a little bit, pay it forward type of thing, that was my first suggestion. And these guys, Tim and Gary, they're all, I believe, South, or members of the Professional Bow Hunter Society, mm-hmm. which professional in action, you know, not necessarily in career or something, that the name, don't get hung up on the name. The PBS, the Professional Bow Hunter Society, are a great group of people and a great starting point for any gathering of information for any hunt, or just the connections you can have through that membership is unbelievable.
Collectively, a lot of knowledge in that group.
Yeah. One of their mottos is knowledge through experience. And so, like you said, a lot of experience there comes from decades of the same pursuit and like-minded people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And because they have a website, you can check them out, the Professional Bow Hunter Society.
Yeah. Yeah. So 20% of the proceeds of the sale of the bow and arrow and quiver package will go to PBS, and the whole package total is $1,349, so $1,349, and that's based on the aluminum arrows there. And like Gary had pointed out, if you did want to go with a different shaft, then you know, we can talk to Gary and get a cost out on that, but we're only doing 10 of them. And so, you know, we don't anticipate these will be around for a long time, as far as availability goes. And, you know, currently right now, we at Stalker are running about 2 to 3 months on delivery, so it can be done fairly quickly. Conceivably, you know, if an order was placed, you could be hunting with it before the end of the year if you had a late season, you know, whitetail hunt or something to that effect. And, or if, you know, you just wanted to use it for a wall hanger, which I hope that people are going to get it out there and, you know, get it dirty, so to speak. So, but yeah, so, you know, probably the best thing to do as far as from an ordering standpoint would be to get a hold of me at Stalker Stick Bows, and then I can get, you know, the deposit, the order going, and then, you know, refer the person over to Gary as far as getting the arrows going, and then the quiver, you know, we can work out if you want a 4, 5, 6 arrow quiver or whatever, and then get that order placed with Drew, and then you'll hopefully have everything all kind of arrive at the same time there from a completion standpoint.
So, and I can definitely make sure the arrows are there. If someone places an order for the bow and you let me know, I'll get the arrows in the works right away. I'm gonna leave some spots in the build list for this particular order.
It actually sounds like a pretty good deal, including arrows, a dozen arrows, and the quiver,
yep.
and the bow.
I mean, it really is.
Actually pretty good, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I do a lot of bow-only sales that run higher than that, so.
Mm-hmm. Right. I wish I could say that about a dozen arrows.
Yeah, you got to work on that gold plating there.
Yeah,
so you'll have some photos, your professional photos taken and present it somewhere, or so the folks can see what it looks like. Or
yeah,
definitely. Tim's been shooting them, and when we launch the podcast, we'll put the pictures up on both the Push and Stalker Stick Bows Facebook and Instagram pages. So
okay, great.
They'll be, yeah, people will really be able to see what they're getting, you know, ahead of time from both the arrow, quiver, and bow standpoint.
And I'm going to do the same thing with D&M. I'll make sure that it's posted on social media from my end as well.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. And I would imagine Selway will do the same there.
Yeah, sure. Definitely.
So yeah, we'll make sure it goes out over all the social media avenues.
So you're only making 10, so they're going to have them numbered or something? Or
yeah, yep. Yeah. They'll all be laser engraved with a number right below the logo there that we burn of you packing out those two white-tailed bucks. So you've got the 00, so we're starting at 1.
All right. And Tim's got number 7 already, so 1's already sold, so technically there's 9.
I had mine out in the I have a tree stand, a ladder stand up in my backyard, and I try to shoot elevated like the last month or so before season. One of the things I'm trying to do this year, and I had it up in the stand tonight, and I shot a quiver full of Gary's arrows into the 3D target below me, and I just sat back down on the stand. I'm just chilling there in the backyard, sitting in that tree, and I look down at that the laser engraved logo of Mike, and you know, as cool of a logo as that is, I thought I kind of had like a flash forward to myself, thinking, you know, like if this coming season coming up is one of the more hard, difficult seasons that every bow hunter eventually has to go through, you know, if it's deep into, you know, December, January, and I still haven't gotten an arrow in anything yet, and, you know, you're getting just kind of distraught and you know, frustrated, with dejected, yeah, you know, one of those long hard seasons, like you can always look down at that logo, and like Mike said, it's just strong medicine to look at something like that, and I thought, you know, that might be the difference someday, you know, between me staying on stand an extra couple hours, or you know, the rest of the day on an all-day sit. So just like we said a couple times, there's just a lot of life and spirit in this bow, I think. So
mm-hmm.
Super cool project.
Well, it seems like it's connecting generations, actually, you know, from Brackenberry on down to you young guys, and hopefully the people that buy it, and they're even younger than us, so and stay with them over the years. So that's what's so
good. Yeah, they'll be inspired, and they'll do something with it.
And then just the generosity of you guys for doing the project, to donate time and everything, going towards the PBS. I know South donated some proceeds from a project that he had with the Schleyer model years ago to Artium, and I wrote a little brief on the traditional bow hunter magazine editorial portion of the magazine, talking about Artium came to the United States and went to school, high school, and actually graduated from college, and now he lives and works in Colorado. So the money that was raised through that effort that we did with myself and Gene and Barry Wenzel, and the promotion that we did through Primal Dreams, through his memorial fund, and we had some auctions of other bows that Bart had over the years, and the traditional bow hunter magazine as well as Stick Bow and Trad Gang over the years. So just to let everyone know who contributed to that, you give them money or you donate your time or effort, you never know what happens, whatever the results of that were, you know. The idea was to have a college fund for Bart's young son, who was, you know, less than, I'm not sure how, I forget how old he was when Bart died, but
he's only like a year or two old or something, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a little older than that, but
okay.
So it's been 10 years, so he must have been 7 or 8, something like that, but or 6 maybe. But at any event, Bart's sister took care of the fund, and she managed it well, and she was proud to send me a picture of Artium in his cap and gown from University of Arizona, I believe, this year. So he's I believe in Boulder, but he's in Colorado.
And, jeez, he's right down the hill from me.
Yeah. You can talk to Claudia or something and figure out where he's at if you ever want to reach out to him. But I didn't know if he hunted much anymore, but I know that she said he shoots the bow that his dad's namesake bowl that you made, which is, you know, similar model to what we're putting out now with this project. So I just, I guess I want to say that you guys are, you know, very generous people and good-hearted people to do this, and hope people take that into consideration when they, if they decide to get their hands on one of these bows and arrow setups and quiver setups.
Well,
we're happy to do this.
We're honored. We're all honored to do it for you, Mike, and we appreciate. You know, I think I can say this collectively for the three of us, and then also for the greater traditional bow hunting community, that we really appreciate everything that you've given to traditional bow hunting, all the inspiration that you've given to you know, to us and collectively as traditional bow hunters, and I mean, it just doesn't stop giving. Every time that your book is, you know, cracked open, every time somebody watches Primal Dreams, or you know, in the future as they shoot these bows that you know, were inspired by you, it's going to be you know, your legacy is still growing, but pretty amazing. And I really appreciate, you know, what you've done, and it's inspired me in many, many ways.
Oh, it's inspired me like you don't even know. I mean, I the reason D&M was created was I was watching Primal Dreams and saw Mike Mitten shoot this fancy arrow, and I was blown away. I'm like, I can do that. I need to try that. I mean, I went home the next day and started making spliced arrows from watching that. Mm-hmm. So my inspiration was totally from that video. And in fact, I didn't even know it was Mike Mitten. At the time, I was just so new into it, and I just started to dive into who are these guys? Who are these brothers of the bow? And I that was the end of it for me. I was done, hook, line, and sinker. I couldn't stop, and I just kept going with it. So D&M was really inspired hugely by you, Mike.
Yeah, thank you so much. That video was with my two brothers and Gene and Barry Wenzel. So, yeah, some arrows you have seen through the video could have been Gene's or Barry's or whatever. So those two guys are, you know, icons of traditional archery as well. So I have to tip the hat to those guys and my brothers and put that together.
Awesome.
Good deal.
Mike, tell us about, we were talking about it before we started recording, but tell us about your upcoming hunt plans for the next month here.
Okay. So I made this film called Chasing Solitude. I take you along on three different moose hunts in three different mountain ranges of Alaska. And at the end of the movie, I talk about, there's a quote there. I guess I'm known for a few quotes or whatever. But it says, I guess I write it to myself, it says, what I fear the most is losing the will to be tested. You know, and as I'm getting older, long in the tooth or whatever, or basically arthritis from carrying too much moose or deer or doing so much foolish things, I had to have my knees replaced. And the last year I had both knees replaced. So December, I had the second one done, and then under recovery, I was at the PBS banquet in March, and, you know, I was getting around pretty good, and so I didn't think I could do a moose hunt, so, but I still wanted to be tested. I still wanted to honor my quote, you know, so I didn't want to lose that will to get out there, so I thought, well, what's the next best thing to a moose is a caribou up in Alaska. I can be in Alaska, I can get flown in. If I get a caribou, it's not as big as a moose, and it's the tundra, maybe it won't stress my knees as much. So that was my plan. So I contacted a pilot to see if he'd drop me in over hubbed out of Fairbanks. And he said he was booked, but there might be some dropouts, you know, later on. So I kept my name on his list all through the summer, kind of prepared to go on a caribou hunt. And then some guys are kind of notoriously busy and they don't always get back to you, but I still held the hope to go until the end of July, when he said that since they closed the Canadian border, a lot of guys, you know, were coming to Alaska to hunt and no one dropped off his list. He didn't have any openings. I said, oh, darn, you know, I thought for sure somebody would cancel. And so anyway, I had to scramble for a new pilot. And so I called some of my other guys that I had used over the years and try to get back into some area that I was familiar with. And everybody was full. Everybody was overbooked. You know, they committed too much, you know. So as you know, there's only so many landing spots and so many places they can get into for moose or caribou. So I have a friend named Colt Foster. He lives up near Anchorage, and so I contacted him, and he got me in touch with a third pilot. And this guy actually had an opening. So in the last, since August, mid-August, I guess, the last like a week or so, I finally committed to a solo drop camp moose hunt into a new mountain range and a new area that I've never been. So I'm kind of getting excited for it. So I'll be moose hunting from September 8th till the season closes on the 25th of September. So I should get a good 16, 18 something day hunt out of it. Well, minus the travel time, so forth.
That's going to be an time. Awesome. Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I got this bow you guys sent and had my arrows and stuff ready, my other arrows that I got from Gary and with matched broadheads and things, but now I'm going to have to match the broadheads to a new set of arrows, I guess, that are going to come in the mail according to Gary in the next couple of days.
So well, you weren't doing anything in the next couple of weeks anyway, right?
Yeah, so I've been slinging a few arrows out of the stalker herd bull. And getting excited for the hunt there. So yeah, this weekend I'll have to pull my stuff together, and I have a list that I just, well, part of the list is a chapter in my book called The List. So I just get my book out and there's my list, and I've been using that for multiple years, and pull the items that I need, round them all up and start packing them into the bag and try to get up to Alaska.
Mike, will you be doing any self-filming on this hunt as well?
Yeah, you know, that's what I do. Yep. I do more filming than hunting, it seems like, but I have quite a bit of footage from 2018 when I went with Brian Wessel from Tall Tines on a moose hunt. So I have, we saw 7 or 8 bulls we called in, but we didn't kill one on that trip. Just, you know, ran out of daylight on one of them, and the other one just, we got around us by about 50 yards. You know, he's just out of range in the thick tag haulers. So they were both great bulls, probably over 200 inches for sure. Ooh. And then the other ones, all the other ones that came in close, they weren't legal bulls, so we had to pass them up. So we got some good footage of lesser bulls and stuff. So we had a great trip. So I have, you know, a lot of footage from that hunt. And so if I film this one, maybe I can put together something, you know, to complement the Chasing Solitude video that me and my son Tim put together in 2018.
Awesome. We're
looking
forward to
that. That's one of my favorites. I was just watching, as soon as we knew we were putting this podcast together, I was like, I gotta crack out some of my Mike Minton stuff. And I love the music in Chasing Solitude. And that was a lot of your son, yes. Wasn't it?
Yeah. Some of it was. Some of it was buyout and some suggestions that I got from Sal's. And it's hard to get the exact music that you want, but then you have to match it to the scene. That's the trick is trying to, you guys know, Tim, you're filming, and you know, it's hard to match sometimes the music to the scenes and find the right. But my sister did write some original piano. She's in, my sister is in there. And then my other son, Dylan, he played some original guitar that he wrote for me. So those things that I know, I listen to them closely whenever I watch the video too. So thank you.
Very cool. And guys, have anything else you want to talk about on the project front, or I think that's pretty well covered it, right?
Yeah, I think we got it covered. Yeah. Yeah, still custom stuff, and we'll work around what everybody needs, but we're going to kind of keep it as a package, and we're going to keep it, you know, not going to deviate from what we created here to kind of, you know, tribute Mike.
Yep. So the woods are the woods in the bow. The fletching colors are the fletching colors. So, yeah, we definitely want to keep it, you know, keep it authentic.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. I think everybody will be really surprised when they see it. It is, when they see the picture,
yeah,
it's set up gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And Drew as well, he's not here, but I mean, that's the first time I've used the Selway quiver, and it seems to work pretty well out there. I know Brian Wessel, he uses them a lot on his tall tines, but mm-hmm. I've always used the Great Northerns. You know, you kind of, like you said, I don't change much. And so it kind of stick with what works, but there are other products out there that work well.
Mm-hmm.
And the quiver fits really well to the limbs and stuff. It's real secure.
Well, good deal for our half of this, the Push Podcast half of this. You know, I think the majority of our listeners are familiar with all you guys, but just in case we have any newbies out there, some new ears out there, everybody give you know, the best website and where they can, you know, see more of your products and you know, maybe some videos and just the best URL website to go to for each of you guys where they can follow along with each of you guys.
So stalkerstickbows.com is where you can see the bows, and then kind of the most up to date as far as if you like looking at bow builds in woods and all that, if you're a wood junkie, follow Facebook, you know, on Facebook or Instagram, Stalker Stick Bows, and there's lots of bow porn on there.
Gary?
And then for D&M Custom Arrows, it's dnm.com. Probably, honestly, the best place to see arrow porn is Instagram and Facebook. I mean, I'm constantly posting up there. And it's all contact information is there, and yeah, I mean, that's the best place to get a hold of me, either through Facebook, through Instagram, or all my information's on the website, and you can contact me there, and any questions that you have, throw them at me. I'll answer as fast as I can.
And then Mike?
And for me, it would be Herd Bull Productions, so ATRD, herdbullproductions.com, that's my website. And I'll have some of the videos that we talked about here, Chasing Solitude, and my own product, One with the Wilderness. The hardcover colored version of the book is unfortunately out of print, but I do have a soft cover black and white version of One with the Wilderness available. I have some caps as well as some poster poems that I wrote at the end of each one of these movies. So I have those inspirational poems available as well. Also, they talked about Primal Dreams and Essential Encounters, the second version of Primal Dreams that we did with Brothers of the Bow with Gene and Barry Wenzel and my two brothers. And for that stuff, you can go to brothersofthebow.com.
Very good.
Yeah, fantastic films right there too. Well worth the money and then some.
Absolutely, yeah. I've seen them all. I own multiple copies of all of them.
I feel like, especially Primal Dreams, the original one, I've always felt was always a prerequisite to bow hunting. I think it's something you should watch. It's not necessarily a hunting video. You're not going to see kill shots left and right, but you're going to see scenery. And my God, some of the animals, it's absolutely stunning film.
Right.
I can't tell you how many times I watch it a year. If you ask my wife, she'd probably come downstairs in the workshop and tell you, yeah, he's probably got it on every other day. Yeah, they do. It's background noise for me. It's mm-hmm. beautiful movie. Beautiful movie.
And
we didn't give Essential Crank Counters enough, because that's another one that was just as good.
Right. And it's something you always feel compelled to share with other people, too. Like, I constantly find myself in this mental battle with, you know, you find, like, somebody that's new to archery or traditional archery, they're just getting into it. Like, I'm always in this mental battle with myself, should I tell them to buy it so like that you know, they can still support Mike monetarily, or should I just give it to them like now so they don't have to wait? I'm just going to give it to them. No, I should tell them to buy it. No, I'm just going to give it to them. And I ended up like just lending it out to all these people, and it, you know, just gets more and more scratched up every time it comes back to me.
Yeah.
But so.
Thank you.
We're going to keep pushing and promoting it for you, buddy. That stuff's awesome.
All right. Thank you so much. It's, yeah, it's close to our heart. And also want to say a quick prayer for Gene. He's had his knee replaced a few weeks ago, and so he's in recovery now. And Barry as well. So everybody, those are our inspiration too. And I talk about that in some of the chapters in the book that South will get to as he's reading, One with the Wilderness. I try to inspire you guys, but I take the time to talk about who inspired me. So hopefully you'll enjoy those chapters when we get to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
They're coming
well,
up.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, good luck on your moose hunt, and I'll expect a moose steak in the mail.
Although I wouldn't trust the USPS these days.
No, not
it
now.
Might be a little ripe by the time it gets here.
Yeah. Well, but yeah, Mike, good luck just out there, buddy.
Okay. Let's send it FedEx.
There you go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Thanks for everybody taking the time tonight. Appreciate all you guys.
Our pleasure, bud.
And thank you all for anybody who wants to pick up the bow, arrow, quiver combination. Thank you in advance.
Great. All righty.
All right, guys.
Take care, guys.
All right.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you have a question, topic, or guest that you'd like to hear about, log on to iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Rate the podcast, and in the review, leave your question, topic, or guest suggestion. Any questions posted will be answered at the beginning of the next recorded podcast. Topics and guest suggestions will be considered and pursued. Additionally, the rating will help the podcast grow. You can further support the podcast by logging on to the Stalker Stickbows website and purchasing a Western Bowhunter podcast t-shirt or window sticker from the Stalker store. Thanks for your support. I come down here.